You kiddos next door. The rest of you, grab your Bibles, please. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Chapter 6. As we continue on. And last week, we really were challenged that the Lord is concerned with the heart. Where's your heart in all this? Right? We can go through the motions and we can do all the right things, but God is concerned over our heart and the heart of the matter. And it's such a challenging message to hear. And the only one who can truly know the heart is God. And ask him to change our hearts. And last week we ended with that prayer. Lord, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, examine me. Right? Lord, show me my heart. Then help me change what needs to be changed. And so I told you last week we were going to take a step back a little bit. We'll pick it up in chapter 6, verse 5. And Jesus starts talking about prayer. And he says, Lord, show us. How should we pray? And prayer is just one of those things that should be so simple. But we make it so hard. Because prayer is just what? Simply talking with God. That's it. And I think sometimes we get so caught up and sometimes, do I say the right words? I gotta pray for the wrong thing. I know I've wrestled with that. If someone's sick and been sick for a long time, do I pray that the Lord takes them home? Or do I pray that the Lord makes them better? You ever felt that? Lord, what's the right prayer? And what if I pray the wrong thing? I remember at one point, I was praying for someone. Someone said, hey, will you pray for, I think it was a sister. And I said, okay. So I didn't write it down because my memory is so amazing. And so I went, and after probably about a month or so had gone by before I saw the lady again. And I asked her, I said, well, how's Sally doing? And she's like, who's Sally? I was like, your sister? You don't know your own sister? He goes, no, my sister's name is Sue. And I was like, I've been praying for the wrong person. And I'm like, oh no, did God not hear my prayer? Or did God bless Sally? Whoever she was, maybe she needed prayer. But poor Sue, I left her out. We fret, we worry. What if I pray for the wrong thing? Folks, prayer is simply us talking to God. And the Bible tells us that we have the Holy Spirit that helps us in our prayers. And so I pictured the scene in heaven when I was like, Lord, pray for Sally. And the Holy Spirit saying, Sue. Right? My prayer got directed. And I'm convinced that there's been times when I thought something was going to happen on Tuesday. And it really happened on Sunday. And I got the wrong day. Because my memory is so great. Did my prayer go wasted? God's bigger than all that. And I believe God heard my prayer. He knew I was going to pray. And I don't think my prayer was void because I accidentally slipped up the wrong name or the wrong. God knows the heart. And prayer is simply talking with God. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 starts off with this. It says, then when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. He starts off with how not to pray. And our prayer shouldn't be such that we're concerned what other people are going to think about us. Right? Do I pray too fast? Do I slur my speech? Do I not say the right things? Do I have to pray in King James English? We had a teacher in school that would, an old woodsman from Passadumkeag, Maine. He had a deep Maine accent. But all of a sudden when he prayed, he would break off in Shakespearean King James. And it was amazing to hear. Do we have to pray that way? And what happens is sometimes we get so afraid of what other people are going to think of us. I don't want to pray out loud. Because why? Because I'm afraid what people are going to... I don't speak well. I stumble my words. You know, folks, if God doesn't care, then I shouldn't care. And it's the hypocrites who make a big show out of it. With the flourishes and, oh, look at me, look how spiritual I am because I pray, you know, my theology. I pray these big words to impress everyone. God's not impressed. And he warns us, so when we go to prayer, don't try to emulate that. Don't worry about those things. Because prayer is simply you talking to God. You know? Along with this, I would be tell people to be careful to say, you ever told someone that I will pray for you? And you never do? And sometimes it's an honest mistake, you know, because maybe your memory is just as good as mine. And I said, I will pray for you. So over the years, what I've learned is, that, look, I say, let me pray for you, and I'll pray for them right that minute. Sometimes I'll hang up the phone, or I'll stop what I'm doing, and I'll pray at that moment so that I don't forget. Because I've been guilty of, I had one lady come up and says, you know, I've been asking you to pray for my sister, and you've been praying for her, and thank you so much for your prayer. And I'm like, oh, I totally forgot. And I just smile and nod because I don't want her to think that I forgot. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. And so when we talk about the idea of our prayer life is not to impress others. Because it's our communication with God. And because of that, our prayer should be simple. And we're not gauged by how spiritual we are, by how we pray. So when Jesus turns around, he says, look, but when you pray, and I want to focus on that first part, he says, when you pray, as Christians, we should pray. Prayer should be a part of your life as a Christian. As your heart is desired to know God and to be involved with him and have a relationship with him, you have to talk. In order to have a relationship with someone, you got to talk to him. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is you talking to God, but also what happens is God kind of talks back. Now, I've never had an audible voice, but I felt his spirit stir within me. And there's been times when I start off praying in one thing and then God kind of, and the next thing I know, I'm praying something else as the Spirit works in your life. But when you pray, Christian, prayer should be a part of your Christian walk. So it says, when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. And here, the word vain just means empty, right? Just memorize prayers. You know, now they mean now to sleep, now the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I, that's horrible, right? I always thought that was, you know, it's a good prayer. When I die before I wake, right? Ah! But with these prayers that you just kind of go through, and it's easy to fall into ruts in our prayer life. You know, we ask the blessing, you know, Lord, thank you for this food. And sometimes that becomes the ritual. Sometimes it just rolls off the lips even without thinking about it. And it becomes very empty. So much so that, you know, we kick an automatic. And, you know, I put my daughter to bed. And we always pray with her, you know. And I plan to do that until she moves out. We'll see how that works. If I get to a point of, Dad, you know, I'm too old for that. My oldest did that. She was about right around this age and I said, okay, let's pray. She goes, Dad, aren't I getting a little too old for that? And I was like, oh, okay. And I walked out, and she looked at me. She goes, oh, Dad, okay, come on. And so we did that for another 5 years. She just broke my heart. I was like, wait, this isn't just for you. I enjoy this time of praying together with you. But you know how it is. You're rushing and you get tired and you go and say, oh, we got our bedtime prayers. And so, you know, I came up and sat down and I gave her a big hug. And dear Jesus, we thank you for this food. She's like, Dad, I just kicked into automatic. And prayer is so easy to fall into that. And some denominations actually promote this. Look, here I'm memorized prayers that you can just go through. Now, if you know it and you mean it, there's nothing wrong with those. You know, I've had the privilege over the last couple of years, the veterans have asked me for Memorial Day and for Veterans Day to go and open in prayer at the service they have, and I find that an honor. And so I actually, then beforehand, I write out my prayer so I get it just right. And I'd probably fall into this because I'm not typing it out or writing it out so that God knows, but because I don't want to mess up in front of you guys know me. So you guys are used to me. Oh, the pastor, you know, messed up again. You know, I'm used to that. You know, we get out in public, you want to be a little more polished. But the challenge is, once again, right? Am I concerned over my prayer to God or what people are hearing about the verbiage and all those things? Or do we just read these things thinking it means something when it's not? We see this oftentimes. You know, repeat this prayer, and Facebook's full of it. You know, if you say this prayer, you know, or you like it, then God will bless you, and it's just a click, and there's no heart often to it. It becomes vain. And to repeat something just for the sake of repeating it, God is not impressed. God knows the heart. You know, I imagine it's sometime my wife and I will be in conversation, and I hope she's not listening, but I'll kind of tune her out, and I'll kind of fall into the yes, dear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And she gets very upset with me because, right, I'm responding, but it's empty. I imagine that's how God feels sometimes with these prayers that we're just right. We don't even think about what we're saying anymore. Now, this is different from persistent prayer. You know, because I know people say, look, I've been praying for, you know, my husband to get saved for years. You're saying I shouldn't do that. Every time I pray, I pray the same thing. No, repetitive prayer is not the same thing as empty prayer. Actually, I won't go into this morning, but Luke chapter 18, Jesus uses two parables and talks about a woman who goes to a judge. And he goes, look, I need justice. And she's kind of like, just go away, lady. And she comes mad, eventually because of her persistence, she gets her request. And sometimes God wants us to come to him. And it's not empty. If we're praying for the same thing and it's heartfelt, there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe there's a need. Say, Lord, give me wisdom. And you pray that every day and you mean it every day. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's not the same thing. But if we get to the point where we're disengaging our hearts from it and we're just going through the motions, then those prayers don't mean anything. Prayer can include a couple of different things. We see this example in the Lord's Prayer. I always thought it was interesting because the Lord's Prayer is one of those prayers that often people kick into for this repetitive prayer. Right? Some denominations say, hey, we'll go home and say, you know, 20 of these. And we kind of go through. It's kind of like, you know, when I was in trouble, I will not talk in class. Write that 100 times on the chalkboard. Not that I know anyone who ever had to do that. You know? It becomes an empty practice. And I always found it interesting that Jesus warns against empty, repetitive prayers, and then he goes into this model prayer, and people will use that model prayer in a repetitive way. Exactly what Jesus warned against. So this isn't necessarily a prayer for us to memorize and repeat back, but there are elements in this, because the disciples said, hey, show us how to pray. Right? I don't know how to pray. I want to pray. Lord, show me how. And so what he does is give us this model prayer that shows us examples of things that we can include in our prayers. And the first one is our relationship with God. What's my relationship with him? He starts off and says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right? Our God is our Father. He's our heavenly Father. The Bible says that as earthly fathers, I want to give good things to my child, how much more so does our Heavenly Father want us to give good things to us? I know as an earthly father, I love it when my child comes to me right, with a need and a request. But I also know, as a father, I want more than just what I want. Right? And we all kind of have some friends who are kind of on our circles that anytime they call, it's like, okay, what do you want now? Right? And God does tell us to come to him, right? God wants us to come to him. But not just for the needs, but also to praise him and to love him and to talk to him and be thankful to him. And here's a good little practice. Keep track of things you've asked for. And when God says yes or no, come back to him and say thank you. Make that a habit. So our prayers aren't just requesting. But in here, he's our loving Father. And so in our prayers, we can acknowledge him. You know, our dear Heavenly Father, or who he is, and how he is a holy God. And think about this, because prayer is an imperfect person who has faults and blemishes coming for the presence of a holy God. And he says, come boldly because of Jesus Christ. And because of that relationship we have of him, right? If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've done that, then you are a child of God. I know a lot of people say, we're all children of God. No, we're not. Now, God is the creator of all. But John here tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name. That as Christians, God is our Father. And that's our relationship to him. We come boldly before him. Prayer can include sort of the reality. Sometimes we get so confused in this world because we're bombarded with what's all around us, and we lose sense of what's real and what's not. And what I mean by that, he says, look, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? God, you are in control. God, I want your will to be accomplished. Right? God, what do you want? Do you seek that out? James tells us that even in our prayers, even in our plans, we should, Lord, if you will, let this happen. Right? When I'm praying for this loved one, and I don't know if they should get better or whether, Lord, you should take them home, which is the right way to pray? What's best? Lord, your will be done. Right? I mean, Lord, my desire would be for this person to get better. Or maybe it was my grandmother, and she's been suffering for so long. And maybe my desire is, Lord, just take her home. But Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And as we see this time and time again, especially in the book of Psalms, as David pours this out in various situations of praise and distress and despair, at the end of it all, each one of these prayers, he turns around and says, but Lord, you are God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let these things happen according to your will. 1 John tells us this, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If we ask anything according to his will, he will do it. Jesus says this is whatever you ask in my name, I will do. Now, it's interesting when we say that when we pray in his name, we've sort of made it a habit, or I have, that at the end of my prayer, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You've heard that. And actually, I was at a funeral once, and I closed in prayer, and I said amen, and a lady from the back shouted out, in Jesus' name! Because I hadn't said that, I just said amen. And afterwards, she goes, Pastor, you forgot to say in Jesus' name. She goes, but I got you covered. And all I could think of is that she thought that's like sending it, you know, without a complete address, that my prayer was floating around in heaven and it didn't know where to go unless you had the right address on it. But it is. Because we ask anything in your name, so I'll incorporate it in my prayer without even thinking about it. Basically, what all that means is, am I asking something Jesus would ask for? Am I asking something that's according to his will? Right? Just because I say in Jesus' name doesn't mean it happens. What that means is in my prayers, I'm saying, look, I'm asking what Jesus would ask for. I'm asking in his stead. And the danger comes in. It says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight wars and yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss. That means spend it on your pleasures. Right? I have selfishness sometimes in my prayers and God says no. And you say, well, yeah, I prayed in Jesus' name, right? I said the magic words. I said it just right. That's not how prayer works. You know, I can say, Lord, I want a Ferrari. And God says, here's a Ford. I need more prayer. Right? But wait a minute. Didn't I say it right? That's not how it works. Lord, your will be done. That's the reality. Prayer includes our reliance on him. He continues. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you to provide. I depend on you. All that I have belongs to you, Lord. I am reliant on you. And notice what it says. How often? Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Lord, help me get through today. Lord, I need you right now. I need your provision. I need your care right now, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. I need your presence. I need your grace. Lord, I need you. You know, we get pretty independent. I find it interesting that time and time again, I know in my life, I've talked with many others, you know, they're like, you know, prayer is like one of the last resorts. You know, I've tried everything else. I think sometimes that's our problem because prayer shouldn't be our last resort. It should be our first resort. Lord, I need you. You know, anytime I'm like, you know, God, I got this. I can handle this. I don't need you. I get myself in a whole lot of trouble. Philippians, Paul encourages them and says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Right, Lord, help me live for you. Help me put you first. Lord, help me to be obedient to you. And then other things will start falling in place in my life. But Lord, I need you. Start off every day. Okay, Lord, what do you got planned today? That constant communication with God throughout all of this. Lord, I need you. I can't live without you. I'm dependent on you. Prayers include repentance. Jesus continues on with his example. It says, and give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a lot in that two little lines here. First one is, I have my own sins. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our prayer should be, Lord, you know what, I blew it. I'm sorry. Lord, I've been tempted by this. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, you know that thing I shouldn't be doing? I did it again. Lord, I'm sorry. As I keep short accounts with God, it keeps that communication line open. It keeps that relationship fresh. It's when I hide my sin and I cover my sin and I justify my sin that the wall starts being built between me and God. This really changed in my life. One day I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, God, you already know my heart. I might as well tell you it. You already know it. Not like I can hide it from him. King David, when he slept with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed, he covered it up. And Psalms tells us, as David poured out his heart, he goes, my bones ached within me. I felt like I was dying on the inside. That's a loose paraphrase. But in here, when we hide our sin, it just eats us from the inside out. And God says, confess it. Come to me, and I will forgive you. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. It doesn't matter. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. His grace is sufficient for all your needs. But notice that he says, forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. We need to be people of forgiveness. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day returns to you, say, I repent, you shall forgive him. As we come before him, the Bible is really clear that if I want forgiveness, I need to forgive. And part of that time with God is letting go of that bitterness that builds up of people against us. Just as I need God's mercy, those around us need his mercy. And folks, if we walk around with bitterness cooped up in our heart, that will just suck the joy out of us. Forgive. And I picked this one in particular because Jesus says, look, seven times in one day, oh, here we go again. I already forgave you once. I got you. Yeah. Because you know how many times I need forgiveness from God? I need a lot. And God promises that supply of forgiveness never runs out. And he says, I need to forgive. And so maybe in our prayers, it's God, you know so-and-so, they're at it again. Lord, help me forgive them. Lord, this is eating me up, right? I'm becoming bitter. I'm becoming angry. Lord, help me to forgive them. And he's able to do that. And our prayer can include that he is our refuge. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, in my life, don't just help me to forgiveness of sin, but Lord, help me to avoid it. And we understand this in some things, you know. If I'm on a diet, I don't need to go to Dunkin' Donuts. Just don't go there. You know, you stand there and all those glazed donuts are just looking at you, mocking you. Don't go there. And there are places in our lives that I need to turn away from because they lead me where I don't want to go. And maybe there's friends in my life that I need to not hang around with anymore because they lead me to do things that I shouldn't be doing. Lord, help me to turn from sin. Lord, help me because the devil is after me. Lord, deliver me from him. James tells us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, the secret to beating the devil is to resist him. Can I tell you something? If every time you feel temptation or you feel like the devil is poking you and tempting you and whispering in your ear, you know what? If you turn around at that time and turn in prayer to God, If every time you are under attack by him, you pray, the devil's going to be like, whoa, 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 I don't want you to pray. Resist him, and he will flee from you. If what he's doing is bringing you closer to God, he wants no part of that. And you'll find some other tactic. It's not a matter of just the flesh. The Bible says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is why I think prayer is so important for us. Because I think most of us want to live a good Christian life. Most of us want to love God. Most of us want to serve him, right? Most of us don't start off the day and say, woohoo, I'm going to just jump in the sin, woohoo. Well, maybe you do. That's a whole different issue. But folks, when that has tempted you, when that is drawing you, realize I can't do this on my own. And God, I need you. And prayer gives us strength. Prayer sustains us in all things. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And this brings us back where we started. God, you're God. And when we close in our prayers, to realize we've been in the presence of our Creator. We've been in the presence of the Holy One of the universe. And he knows my name. Folks, that's an amazing experience to have. You know, this past week, like many weeks, he spent some time on hold. You ever call the company and they play horrible music while you're on hold? I'm convinced they're trying to make you hang up. And then they break in with that little voice, which drives me nuts. Your call is very important to us. No, it's not! If it was important, you would have answered it! Right? I mean, they go back to horrible music again. I think it's a contest. So I'll put it on speakerphone and just go about my business. Because I'm like, they're not going to win. Then they hang up on you. You guys start all over again. Right? That never happens with God. When we pray, God hears. The Bible says it's a sweet-smelling savor to him. He knows my name. My prayer is very important to him. And he comes. And imagine when I close in prayer and when I say amen, and amen just means an agreement. And when I close in prayer, I imagine God says, how much longer till you come back? I'm convinced if some of us prayed as often as we checked our Facebook, our life would transform itself. I want to give you some final thoughts. If we talk about prayer, if you look at these examples, the things that we incorporate in our prayers, that really the challenge is, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. I challenged a group once. I said, every time you're worried, every time you're fearful, pray. And a lady says, I'll be praying all the time. I said, bingo! That's what the verse says. And it doesn't have to be formal, right? Remember, prayer is just you talking to God. You know, you don't have to close your eyes and bow your head, especially if you're driving. I don't recommend that. But talk to God. Use that time. It can be a simple prayer. Just, Lord, I love you. God, what a wonderful sunset that was. God, you do good work. God, I need your help right now. Lord, I need your strength. Maybe the Lord will impress someone on your mind. And I encourage you to stop what you're doing and pray for that person. Because maybe they need it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry, pray. Turn that negativity into a positivity. as we approach God with these things. Knowing that God hears us and know that he answers prayer. Let me leave you with one last thought. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You know when we talked about how no one likes that one friend who calls only time when they want something? And God tells us to come and ask. And I don't want to discourage you from asking God anything. But folks, so many times we see prayer linked with thanksgiving. Be thankful. You know, as a parent, how do you like it when your child comes up and says, thank you? How do you think our Heavenly Father feels when we turn around and come back to him and say, God, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your strength. And I'll tell you, prayer changes things. But most importantly, oftentimes, prayer changes what? Me. God changes us from the inside out. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. Lord, we think of prayer, and Lord, not to complicate it, not to make it difficult, Lord, but truly prayer is just us calling out to you. Lord, help us to do it more often, to communicate with you, to talk to you, to enjoy you in all things throughout the day. Lord, change us by our prayers. Change my heart. Lord, we ask this in your name.